It touched me when I heard it from the recording, but wow. When I talked to Trish and she said, you have an idea of what you want to talk about, here's what songs are going to be sung. And I said, it's always perfect, right? It's always just divine. And so I had been given, I actually went to a sound circle where we saw each other at Columbine Unity and got the Linton book for this year from Unity, which every year they have a Linton book and there's a reading for every day. And this year it's Let Go, Let God. And the reading for today is Jesus Let Go of Worry. So this song, you know, was just like, ah, you knew it was perfect because when we're in alignment, it's beautiful. And, you know, I always do a whole bunch of research and preparation, and who knows what God's going to say today. But I've been so moved and so impressed upon me lately, this incredible truth of the amount of energy that we spend in fear and worry. This unbelievable amount of time and energy that we spend in our mind processing over and over and over our fears. The hours that I wasted giving up my dreams when I was asleep. And being asleep is the words that are used for when we are not conscious. We talk about being awakened. So when you think about being asleep, it isn't just the hours that we sleep when we're in bed, because that's actually a time of rejuvenation if we let it be. Who wakes up in the middle of the night worrying, right? But it says in this reading that the Bible implores us to not fear some 365 times. And Jesus brought the same message, don't worry. Let your hearts not be troubled. And if we just lived by the joy song that we sang, I am spirit, right? No one would be here. We'd be here because we loved each other. And we are here because we loved each other. But this concept of being human around this fretting that we have, this incessant part of our brain that worries. And we are the only ones on the planet that worry. The only ones that worry. Now, when I read that, I thought, well, dogs sometimes worry. And then I thought, is it the same as a human worry? Do they really go forward in their mind and play out all the potential scenarios that can happen? Or do they just have this kind of innate, like, you guys are arguing and I don't like it. You know, like they've got this sense that there's something not right. No, no, no. We play it out. We play it out. We spend an enormous amount of time playing it out. What if my son loses his job? And then if he loses his job, then he won't have some place to live. And if he doesn't have some place to live, then am I going to have to say that I'm not going to give him money for some place to live? And what are we doing? We're here in Unity, and Unity teaches us that our lives are what we think and feel and believe that they are. Unity teaches us that we have power in our thoughts. We create the life that we see. So, really inspired by Laura's music, so I'm just like, whew, thank goodness. A girl who wears a lot of makeup, that was like, I lost a whole bunch right there, so I hope you love me anyway. The Bible verse that that I have, Don, will you throw up the Bible verse that I picked that was from, actually from this particular Lenten reading. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. And go ahead and leave it up for a second, Don. I read the beginning of this story, right? So we pick these little sections out. And what I think is so fascinating is that words are just words, right? Like, we are so limited by the language that we have. The words that I think, that I interpret for how I see them, is the way that I see them through my mind. And the way that you see them is through how you see them through your lens and your mind. And so we're really limited by these constant explanations that we have of words, which is why we can actually battle with each other, with other religions, how other people see the words. Who cares, right? Like, ultimately what we're trying to say is there are many paths to the top of the mountain, and no path is straight. To climb a mountain, you've got to wind up, and sometimes you go a different way, and ultimately in the end, the hope is that you make it to the peak, which is peace and connection and love and unity with everything. So however you get there is how you get there. So as I do more spiritual journey, it's fun to read the Bible, right? Because I used to read the Bible from somebody else's lens. And I was defending my not wanting them to put that lens on me. Well, I'm the one who's reading it through their lens. So now as I read it through the lens of love, through the lens of metaphysics, through the lens of unity, through the lens of just let me feel this and see this from the light in which you want me to know it. The story prior to this is Jesus really saying, there are many rooms. I am preparing the way for you. And the disciples are saying, but tell me how. And he's saying, I've shown you. I've shown you love. I've shown you tolerance. I've shown you how to be. And they continue to say, but could you give me the way? Could you tell me a little bit more? Could you, like, how? And ultimately, in the end, he says this after them kind of saying, but how? Show me more. And he says, peace I leave with you. He's telling them he's actually going to be going. This is part of his saying that he's going to be leaving. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It is given. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be deserving enough of it. You didn't have to be good enough. You are worthy and you are whole. Peace I give to you. It is yours. It is your dominion. Happiness is your right. I do not give you as the world gives. The world is complicated. The world is complicated, right? Part of this stuff about worry is we are so consumed with trying to predict what's going to happen in the future. Some of that stuff's going to happen. Some of that stuff is going to happen. This isn't about us wanting to have a life that doesn't have any trials or tribulations. That's called living. It's been happening like this for a long time. So when we think that our worry is going to actually prevent a crisis from happening, in 12-step and Al-Anon, which has been a foundational piece of my life, one of the detachment rules is to not prevent a crisis that's in the natural course of events. To not create a crisis. Well, crises sometimes are the things that move us and shatter our lives to a place where we're brought to our knees, we're willing to do whatever it takes to make change, to see, to grow, to expand, to trust, to have faith. So much of our worry is around this concept of, like, if I could control the circumstance enough that nobody else has to have any trial or tribulation, you're robbing them of their growth. You're taking away their opportunity to find themselves. And we have the opportunity to find ourselves at every moment. Jesus is saying, I give you peace. It is yours already. So as we move through these complexities of life, it isn't about not having them. It isn't about not having the feelings. It isn't about the difficulty that we go through. It's about realizing that on the other side, if we choose to see it, is another way to see it. And the world will give you chaos, The world will give you war. The world will give you difficulty. Because most people are asleep. Most people are so caught up in their ego and power and greed. And that's human beings. That's how it goes. But we don't have to live or see or be from that. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I read a book, which I'm not going to remember who the author was, about Mary Magdalene and Jesus' relationship. And the concept was that Mary Magdalene was in her heart. And the relationship that Jesus had with Mary Magdalene was incredibly profound. And the teachings that he gave her were much more on the metaphysical perspective than with these guys, right? He just picked up men, just regular men, right? We think the disciples were like, no, they were just guys, right? They were constantly asking questions like, did you give me the directions? What way am I supposed to do this? They bickered with each other. And he was giving them the teachings that were available to them at that time period for how society worked then. And the teachings that he gave Mary Magdalene were of the heart. And this concept that our heart is really where our spiritual center is, so much of what we know is up in here. Like if we actually moved it down just a little and lived from our heart most of the time, so much of our worry would go away. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Fear and love. Fear, love. Basically, at any moment, you're choosing fear or love. You're moving forward or you're going back. It's okay. It's not a judgment that says you have to be doing one thing or the other. What we're saying as spiritual beings, there's this opportunity and this invitation to step into lightness, to step into love, to step into the knowing that when you come into a situation that is difficult, you will have everything that you need to handle it. If you allow yourself to believe that you are indeed held and loved by something greater still. So all this time that we spend worrying is taking up our mind that would allow us to actually move into our wholeness, to move into co-creation with Spirit. So I have hard kids, and I worry about them. Now, worrying from the standpoint that we're talking about here means that I would like to make it be a different way. And worrying from the standpoint of my heart has compassion for them means that you can touch into the place of yourself that feels those feelings. And one of the things Eric Butterworth said in one of the readings that I had was, so many people, we say prayer and meditation is how you take care of worry and stress. A lot of people pray, but they're really worrying. Oh God, please help my son. Oh God, please, please, please keep this, you know, keep these hard things from happening. Don't let that girlfriend break up with him. Oh God, please don't let that girlfriend break up with him. Don't let him screw this up, God. You know, I mean, you're really just worrying. So I've moved into the prayer that is the power of unity's teachings of co-creating. I see my son held in the light. I see him making choices that are aligned with his highest good. I know and feel that everything that he is doing in his life is for his learning and his growth, and I trust that everything that he's happening for him is part of his journey. I feel so much better, you know? I'm like literally handing it over for some good. Shireen asked about, I just went to Indonesia for a month, and she said, ooh, tell me about it. I said, ooh, I'm gonna talk about it in the talk. Well, I haven't talked about it yet, so here we go. So my husband and I just went to the Mentawai Islands off of the coast of Indonesia for 2 weeks, and then we had 3 days on either side in Padang, Indonesia. And traveling used to really worry me. right? Like all this energy that I spend on the money that it is, is everything going to go right? What if something happens? Is it going to be fun? Am I going to, you know, like, wow, the amount of energy that we spend on trying to predict the future. And this time, I'm in an entirely different space. And I was, first of all, incredibly grateful that I had the chance, the financial ability, the time, the job that allowed me to do this incredible gift of a trip. And stepping immediately from this gift and awareness into a country that is a third world country. Who all's traveled to a third world country? It is, I mean, Mexico's a little bit of it, but India, Indonesia, Thailand, you know, you go to these places and you're affronted immediately with an entirely different paradigm, an entirely different way of being that we can't even fathom here. Can't even fathom. And your first thought is, oh, how sad, you know, that they... And then almost immediately go, what is that? What is that? That belief that we're better than or that we know better than. This is a whole other talk. I'm not going to go there. But my concept around it was this flush of awareness of we think we know so much about how the world works and how we work and what relationships should look like. If you go into a country where it is completely different, the traffic is insane, right? There's mopeds and cars and people and bikes and there doesn't seem to be any rules. Like, there was a red light. No, you go through the red light. Like, my mind was, like, blown. Like, oh, what are we doing? And they honk. I'm over here on your left. And then everybody's passing. Nobody's angry. Nobody's mad. It all just smoothly works. And I start thinking about this worrying, this concept that we have on how we think that we're attaching to the world. And I opened. And instead of trying to make sense of it, which is what worry is, stress and anxiety is like trying to figure it out, I just sunk into it and I got really curious and I asked to see the way that they see it. And I saw happy people. People were so kind. I didn't see another white person when we were in the actual town of Padang. I saw joy on people's faces. I saw children that were playing and running in the, you know, the streets and playing with bottles and just as happy as could be. And it helped me to sort of awaken to this part of us that says we get to choose how we're going to see it. We get to choose how we're going to interact with it. We get to choose what our mind pays attention to. So if we're going to move out of worry and out of fear, thank you, Donna, you can take it down. What we want to do is we want to start to move into a place of complete faith. Complete faith is really hard because we want to be in control. We want to know how to make it better. We want to know how to fix it. We want to know what to do. So I was reading, I wanted to read this one because this actually goes with the workshop that you're going to be doing. Myrtle Fillmore had a set of letters from 1936, and one of these letters was people saying that they were sending their prayers to Silent Unity with this like worry, right? They wanted Silent Unity to fix the problems, right? If I send it to Silent Unity, it's done, right? It'll be taken care of. On some level, what you're doing is you're handing it over. But what she was talking about was she was talking about these expectations that people have of what sending the prayers will do. because you're asking somebody else to fix it. You're asking somebody else to take care of it for you instead of for you to have some level of dominion over your own stuff. And so she said that it's a threefold healing. This health law is threefold: spiritual, keeping a person assured that the God-given freedom from all anxiety and worry and fear and lack, right? Like, if you actually believed that being connected to your spiritual self, that you could be completely released of that, how beautiful that would be. The next, she says, is mental. We need to give the intelligence that enables them to always do what promotes your best health, success, and physical formation habits, right? So it's about spiritual, and then mental, and then she said physical, forming habits which keep making you right in all faculties. We are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for the way we see it. We are responsible for the way that we take things on. We are responsible for how much we let our mind roll into fear and anxiety, how much we allow ourselves to be consumed with the future and drudging in the pain of the past. So if this is the truth, if God is saying, do not let your hearts be troubled, it doesn't mean that you don't feel. It doesn't mean that you don't allow your human experience to process through you and teach you lessons. It means that you see it from a new lens. It means that you see it from a connection to something even greater still that knows that you're whole, that knows that you have everything that you need within you. One of the moving parts of that song, Laura, is if you could let go of worry and stress of everybody else, could you step into the truth that your life is worth living fully? If you could let go of what was going on in the world, if you could let go of pain that somebody else was experiencing, do you have the freedom and can you take it for yourself that you deserve to be happy? That you can be happy even if the people around you aren't happy? We worry because they're not okay. But their choice is to be in this threefold experience. Even if we send them to silent unity, they have to at some point pick up the ball for their own healing and their own life. And we don't give ourselves permission to be okay even if someone else isn't okay. And I was talking to a client and she said, wow, it's such a big deal that you went across the world. Your kids must be in really good shape. I hadn't actually thought of that. I went across the world because I worked hard. I made the money. My husband and I made this decision. We did the spiritual practice of setting an intention, having a goal, thinking on that goal. There's a creative substance that creates everything. We manifest those things. And if I had spent that trip worrying about my son and his issues, I wouldn't have had a good time. And it wasn't until she said that I thought, you know, I didn't actually think of my kids almost ever on the trip. We have information confronting us all the time. We have news and social media and people talking to us more than ever. Something I was listening to on the way in said that children get bombarded with, you know, 20,000 commercials, you know, a month or something, right? Like, we're being programmed constantly with all this information. And what does it do? It creates worry. So if we can step out of this place that says, I need to worry about you, and I need to worry about this, and move into a place that says, I can step into my own healing, my own growth, my own awareness, my own love, my own being, and trust and hold and know that God is handling the rest. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and that you have every right to choose your own happiness regardless of what's happening around you, and to choose whether you're going to watch the news, to choose whether you're going to listen to that friend complain for the 15th time, to choose whether you're going to participate or interact with what doesn't work for you. And it's okay, because their experience is theirs. They get to discover and know the peace when they're ready. So with that, I just invite you to come into a time of meditation. Let's start by closing your eyes and taking a deep grounding breath. With a full release. Feel your body. Recognize that this moment right here, right now, is the only moment that is. That we can choose. We can choose where we're going to put our time and energy, and we choose to be awake. We choose to hand it over to God. We choose faith and trust, knowing that we are indeed spiritual beings, allowing others to have their experience and standing firmly in our own. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It is peace that I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Thank you, God, for these gifts. Thank you for this precious life. For this and so much more, we are so grateful. And so it is. Namaste.
Thank you so much. And thank you to Rev. Rachel.